Hashem, we're going to begin the seventh parak of Brachos Amidst Hashem. As I said yesterday, and as we reopened the koil by us in Baruch Yitzchak in Ramat Shemesh Gimel, it's very, very special always to begin a new Zman, but especially Elul, where we're davening every day, Achas Sho'alti Meis Hashem, Shifti Beveis Hashem, Koli Mechaya. We just say, we only really have one request at the end of the day, and that is to be dwellers in the Beis Hashem. And it should never, ever, ever, ever be taken for granted. It should never be taken for granted the fact that we're able to learn generally, and the fact that we're able to learn as a group should not be taken for granted. Many people are not zeicher to this. In fact, most people are not zeicher. So the fact that we are now beginning, if I'm not mistaken, our fifth perek in Brachos, we've learned, I think, 2 and 3 and 4 and 6. And we're now going to the seventh parak. So Shifti Beveis Hashem, it's Hashem, it should be a successful Zman as we're starting this brand new parak. So we're learning a parak which has really nothing to do with what we've learned till now. So it's an absolute fresh start. Everything we've learned till now has been concerning Kriya Shema and Brachos. And especially last Zman, we learned most of the Zman about in what type of atmosphere you can say Kriya Shema and Brachos, if there's Erevo or a bad smell, etc., etc., etc. We're now moving on to a completely different topic. The sixth perek in this Masechta is actually the perek that we began with a number of years ago, which was Ketzav Mevorachin about Brachos, which is mainly Bracha Rishoina. And now we're moving to Bracha Achreina, which is Birkas Hamazon, and specifically the concept of Zimun. And that's what we're going to launch today, Be'ezus Hashem. So let's just make a very brief introduction to the concept of Zimun. There is a mitzvah min ha-toira, very important to know. Birkas Hamazon is min ha-toira. Even though it's a bracha, it's the only bracha which one has to make min ha-toira, besides perhaps for Birkas ha-toira, on the study of Torah, but Birkas Hamazon after we eat is min ha-Torah. Certainly, the first three brachos are min ha-Torah. The fourth one, there is a discussion. We pass that's only midrabanan. But the concept of Birkas Hamazon, as we call it, benching, is min ha-Torah. The concept that we're about to learn is an extension of that, and that is zimun. As we know, when three people get together and eat lechem, then there is a chiyuv, there is a discussion whether there's a chiyuv min ha-Torah or a chiyuv min ha-Rabbanan, but either way, there is a chiyuv to bench together. And that's called zimun. Zimun, one way of translating zimun is to invite. If you're here in Eretz Yisrael, you would know that the word in Ivrit for an invitation is hazmana. If ever you receive a wedding invitation, it's a hazmana lechatuna. Hazmana, zimun, is you invite, as it were, the others to bench with you. Now, we must not make a mistake. This is very, very important. Essentially, zimun does not mean that one benches on behalf of everybody else. Essentially, zimun really means everybody benches separately. So what does zimun? Zimun means although they bench separately, but one has to announce that we are hereby about to bench together, even though everybody is going to recite Birkas Hamazon for themselves. But the introduction, what we know as Nevorech She'ochalnu Mishaloi, let us bench, because we have eaten HaKadosh Baruch Hu's food, that essentially is the concept of Zimun, and that really is all there is. With the only difference being that when there's 10 people, as we know, you then have to add the word Elokeinu. So what we know as Zimun, when one announces and says either in Hebrew or in Yiddish, Raboisai Nevorech, or in Yiddish, Raboisai Mevelam Benchen. That means we are about to bench, we say Nevorech Shochalu Mishaloi. That essentially is the entire concept of Zimun. However, and this we will see, and that's why we mustn't make a mistake, because this is a difference between what used to happen and what happens nowadays, is practically, however, one would bench on behalf of the other two. Even though Zimun does not necessarily require that, but that's the way it used to be done. One of them used to bench, allowed. It has to be allowed, because otherwise the other two won't hear it. If he benches loud and the other two hear it, so we're all very familiar with the concept of Shomea Ka'ina. If they listen to Brikas Hamazon, it is as if they themselves have recited it. And that way, it is as if they have all recited Brikas Hamazon. Nowadays, however, this is not the case, although it could be, but it isn't practiced this way. Rather, everybody benches individually. So if that's the case, how does Zimun manifest itself? As we said, it's not so much in the benching. Rather, it is the introduction to the benching where we say, Nevorech she'ochal v'mishaloi. If anybody has a Mishnah Brura in front of them, I know we're going a little bit backwards over here, but it's worth having a look. Have a look if you have a Mishnah Brura, Chelek Beis. Chelek Beis. So if you have a look there, in Siman Kuf Pei Gimel, Kuf Pei Gimel 183 in Sif Zayin. Kuf Pei Gimel 183. If you look in Kuf Pei Gimel, Sif Zayin, it begins with the words Nochoin Hadovo. Do you have those words? Nochoin Hadovo. Yeah, you have those words? In my edition, it's the bottom line on the left-hand side of the page. I'm not sure if everybody has the same edition. Kuf Pei Gimel Sif Zayin, where the Shulchan Aruch says, yeah, you have it, Reb Nachum? Reb Avram? Yeah, you got it? Reb Yosef Moshe Zeller, you have it? Kuf Pei Gimel Sif Zayin. Nochoin Hadovo. It is the correct thing. Shekol Echod Mehamasubin. Now we're going to have to get used to these words, Masubin, because we're going to bump into it 1,000 times. What does it mean, Masubin? So, of course, we're all familiar with the word Mesubin because we say it on Pesach night. Mesubin literally means to lean. Because as we know, that's the way they used to eat. But over here, when we use the word Mesubin, we're going to use the word as in it means all those who are eating round the table or on their couches. That's what it means. You might well have one people leading the benching, and then you have all the Mesubin, all the other participants. But again, literal translation means all those leaning, but that's not the purpose over here. So one person is benching. Nochoin adova, shekol echod me'amasubin, all of those participants, all the other members of the meal, yoimar belachash, should say quietly, im hamavoreich, together with the person benching, kol brocha ubrocha. Ba'afilu hachasimois. And even the chasimos where you say Baruch Atah Hashem. Now, whenever the Shulchan Aruch says Nochoin Hadovo, how are we to translate those words Nochoin Hadovo? Nochoin Hadovo does not mean you're chayev. If you would be chayev, then Shulchan Aruch would say chayev. Nochoin Hadovo means it's a correct behavior, but it's not necessarily mandatory. So we're talking about one person is benching, and it is correct mode of behavior for all the Mesubin to say benching together with him, but quietly. So let's have a look. Look there at the Mishnah Brura in Chof Zayin. Nochoin, says the Mishnah Brura, Hainu, What this means to say is as follows. After Medina, even though me'ikah hadin, like we said before, nochoin hadavo doesn't mean that's the ikah hadin. It means it's the correct thing to do, but it's not a chiyuv. So what is the chiyuv? What is the main din? Says the Mishnah Berurah, really min hadin, hoya yoisa nochoin, what essentially would have been even more correct to do is sheyishmu'u hamasubin kol birkas hamozoin mipi hamazamin. Essentially, all the masubin, all the meal participants, should be listening to birkas hamozoin coming from the mouth of the mezamin. That's another word that we're going to have to get used to. Mezamin is the one reciting zimun. Vehu yoytziyim, and he will be might see them, the birkasay, with his benching, uba'atzmon, but they themselves loy yevarchu klal. They themselves should not be benching. In other words, the Mishnah Berurah, as mentioned, is picking up on the words nochoin hadova. Nochoin hadova does not mean that this is the absolute lechatchila chiyuv, says the Mishnah Berurah, because it isn't. Essentially, everybody should be sitting in absolute silence, listening to the mezamein bench, and he'll be mighty them. So why, if that's the case, is the Shulchan Aruch recommending that everybody should say benching together quietly? Why should you bench them quietly? You shouldn't say anything, you should just listen. Says the Mishnah Berurah, I'll explain to you. Mikol mokrim, nonetheless, despite the fact that I just told you that essentially they should all be listening in silence to the mezamein. But you know why the Shulchan Aruch recommended otherwise? Ba'avur shemotsui, because it's very frequent. Ba'avayisenu harabim, in our many sins. What does that mean, in our many sins? That means we're not necessarily on the highest spiritual standing. And therefore, what's going to happen? Shamasubin mesichim daito. The concern is that the mesubin will be masiach das. Their mind will wander. The einon mechavnin, and they will not have kavona ledivrei hamavorich klal. The nimtza, and it will therefore turn out disastrous consequences. Shechoser lohem birkas hamazon, that they're now missing birkas hamazon legamri omavaklin asay doiraisa bayadaim. And would you believe it? They're being mevatel and mitzvah saseh min ha-Torah with their own bare hands. They've just eaten a meal and they're supposed to be listening to somebody being mitzvah and benching, and they're busy thinking about this, that, and the other. So they've lost concentration. So they didn't bench and they weren't yetzer with somebody else's benching. So they've just been mevatel and mitzvah saseh d'oraisa. And therefore, lekach nochim, kahayoim, underline the word kahayoim. What does it mean, kahayoim? Today, nowadays. Nowadays, where we're not exactly on the highest spiritual standing, and who can be honest enough to say that, yes, I'm perfectly capable of listening to somebody bench from beginning to end without losing concentration. So we can't really say that. So kahayoim, nowadays, what should we do? Nochoin kahayoim yoisa. What's better to do nowadays is shamasubin, Yoimru ba'atzmon belachash kol milo umilo. That's why the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say chayev, because you're not chayev. But it is correct nowadays to say every word quietly to yourself. Im hamavorech sheyivorchu yachtov. That way they are still benching together. The nikra alidei zeh, and through that it will still be referred to as birkas zimun. And that way, that which it says in the pasuk will be fulfilled. Gadlu l'Hashem iti unaroma moshmo yachdov. If you had a look at the Gemara, you will know that this is the source of the whole concept of zimun. Demize yalfinon. It is from this pasuk that we derive birka zimun u'kamoshe kosavnu u'kamon, as will be explained later on. So again, what's the Mishnah Berurah pointing out over here? What the Mishnah Berurah is pointing out, it all revolves on those two words that the Shulchan Aruch says, Nochain Hadavah. Nochain Hadavah, he does not say, you must. He says, it's the correct thing to do. And the Mishnah Berurah says, yes, you're right. Because you cannot say that you must. Essentially, the ideal classic Zimun was, not only does one invite the others to bench together, but he, in fact, will be mitzi them such that they really are benching together. In fact, there couldn't be more together than this. Because in the ideal world, one person will bench, the other two will listen, or the other two, or 10, or how many people will listen, and be yetzer shemir ko'ina, and you couldn't get a more unified birkas hamazon than that. That's in an ideal world, but we don't live in an ideal world. We live in a world, says the Mishnah Berurah, where nowadays the fear is that people will be masiach das, they'll lose their concentration. So it's all very well trying to achieve the wonderful concept and maila of zimun, but not chas v'shalom if that means that you're going to lose out on the main mitzvah, birkas hamazon, because your mind wandered and neither did you say birkas hamazon nor did you hear it. That's why, says the Mishnah Berurah, everybody should say Birkas HaMazon quietly to themselves. Now, the Mishnah Berurah immediately had to do a fix-up job. What was the Mishnah Berurah's fix-up job? And that is, if everybody is saying Birkas HaMazon to themselves, well, haven't we just now lost the whole concept of Zimun? That's why the Mishnah Berurah immediately pointed out that, don't worry, you are still fulfilling the concept of Zimun, that's still called your benching together, on condition that one says it loud and the rest say it quietly. But if everybody says it loudly, as we're about to see in the next Mishnah Berurah, then you really have lost the concept. That's not together. Everybody's benching for themselves. Nobody's listening to a word that everybody else is saying. So this way, basically, we have the best of both worlds. On the one hand, we do not have the fear that anybody will lose the concentration because they're actually benching themselves. So everybody will get the mitzvah, Birkas HaMazon. And on the other, you'll also get Zimun because you're saying it quietly. So you're actually saying Birkas HaMazon, but with your ear, you're still listening to the guy saying it loud. Now have a look immediately the next Mishnah Berurah where he warns you that you yourself should not say it too loud, Rav Nachum.
So is what we do today considered kol mila or mila im ha-mavarech?
Yes, you're supposed to say benching together with the mavarech, as we're about to see, but the mavarech should be louder than everybody else. Again, when
that's throughout all of benching?
We'll see it, at least the first bracha. Let's have a look. Says the Mishnah Berurah in the very next Mishnah Berurah in Sikkot Mechof Ches. But I'll call upon him, even though the Lashon of the Ramah was Kol Bracha U'Bracha, Rav Nachum, as you pointed out. And Kol Bracha U'Bracha sounds like from beginning to end. Says the Mishnah Berurah, but I'll call upon him at least Yezoaru Loimar Imoy. At least they should be careful to say with him, Belachash in silence. Bracha Rishayna, at least the Bracha Rishayna, at least the Bracha Rishayna. Why dafka the Bracha Rishayna? Didn't we once say that Birkas HaMazon, the first three brachas are min ha-Torah, not just the first? Yes, but with regard to Zimun, the main bracha is the first, as the Mishnah Berurah says, di'ilav hochi, because if you don't listen, if you don't say that quietly, lahar bepoiskim, according to many poiskim, loy mikri zimun klal. That's not called zimun, as we're going to see in Simon Reish. Ulafizeh, therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, I need to issue the following warning. Mash en noyagin har be'anoshim. That which many people do, what do they do? Achar sha'omru boro sha'ochaldo. After they say boro sha'ochaldo, what do they do? Kol echod echod mevorech b'koil rom b'fnei atzmoi. Many people have the practice, as soon as they hear Boros Shachal Mishaloi, it's like the Olympic gun, everybody's off their blocks, and everybody's saying Birkas HaMazon loud for themselves. Well, then you've just killed off the whole concept of Zimun. Shaloi kedim heimoisim. That is not correct. Why is that not correct? Because in their wild enthusiasm to say Birkas wasn't loud, they will not be able to hear the mezamein bench, and you've just lost your whole concept of zimun, and there's a chiyuv to do zimun. Elo, rather, what should be done? Hamavarech, tzorech, levarech, bracha rishayna, al kol ponim, bekoil rom. The mavarech, whoever's doing the mezamein or the mavarech, he should bench at least the first bracha loudly. Kedei sheyishmu hamasubin. So that all the masubin will be able to listen to him, not forgetting that they are also saying it quietly. V'heim yoim ruba lachash. Meanwhile, they will be saying Birkas Hamazon in silence, imoy together with him, milo b'milo, word by word, rak, one final clause, b'siyum ha-brocha, when they finish the brocha, yakdimu, they should slightly precede the mavarech. You want to be able to hear the mavarech say the last words, baruch atah Hashem, so that you could say amen. Therefore, you should slightly speed up a little bit. And you should say, Baruch Hashem Hazon Sakoil, Lekadei Sheyamu Amen, in order that you should be able to say Amen to the Bracha of the Mavarech. The rest of the Mishnah Berurah we will leave. So, this really, therefore, Moreh Rabbosai, is all by way of introduction to the principle of Zimun. So, you see, essentially, Zimun is all about benching together. With the $64 million question obviously being, what does together mean? So in an absolutely ideal world, one person benches aloud. He's called the Mavorech or the Mezamein. He is Moitzi the others, but they've got to listen in silence and therefore be Yotze with Shemir Ko'ina. Obviously, that's the most unified together type Birkas HaMazon possible, because they literally are all being Yotze with one Birkas HaMazon. Why don't we do that? Because we're worried people will lose concentration. So therefore, nochoin hadavah, therefore what's correct behavior nowadays is that everybody should bench for themselves. Ah, but then you've lost your zimun. No, says the Mishnah Berurah, because everybody's saying it quietly. So with one ear, you are listening to the mavarech. With the other, you are listening to yourself. That's basically going on at the same time. But what's absolutely critical is that the Mavorech says at least the first bracha loud, and he should say it slightly slower than everybody else, such that when he finishes and he says, Baruch to Hashem Hazon Es HaKoil, they meanwhile will be waiting for him, and that way they'll be able to say Amen. That, basically, in a nutshell, is what Zimun is all about. So now, having said that, now let's make a start to our mission. One of the main discussions, and maybe, in fact, the main discussion is, if we say that Zimun is a chiyuv for when three people eat together, so that word together needs a lot of definition. What does it mean together? And just to show you how everything in halacha is related, this is very, very, very corona related. Why is this corona related? Because when in the beginning of corona, all the shuls were shut down and we were busy making minyanim, from one mirpeset to another. So once again, you have the same question. What does it mean, 10 people davening together? What's together? Do they have to be in the same room? Do they have to be surrounded by the same walls? Is it enough that they could see each other? Are the halachas of Zimun the same for the halachas as tefillah? Because they are both concepts in which the word together needs to be defined. So if I go to a restaurant, I might well be able to see 10 people or 3 people eating. Is that called we ate together? and we were definitely all in the same room. I've got no idea who they are. I didn't speak to them. I don't know them. Do we have to start eating together? Do we have to finish eating together? What happens if I did begin and end together? This is very negeh, by the way, for yeshiva bochrim. You come into the dining room, you grab your meal. There might be 75 people at the same table, but I don't know them, didn't talk to them, didn't speak to them. Is that cool that we ate together? What about a halachic lack of together? What happens if I'm eating meaty and you're eating milky? Is that cool that we ate together? How can that be considered you ate together? You cannot partake of my meal, I cannot partake of yours. What happens if a kohen is eating truma together with a non-kohen who's eating non-truma? Is that called together? The non-kohen cannot eat the truma. But the kohen can eat the non-truma. So it's together, at least in one direction, but not in two directions. So here we have lots and lots and lots and lots of questions which we'll have to define, and it all revolves about what is the definition of together. Not what is it called benching together, but rather what is it called eating together. So I think we've done enough introduction. Let's begin. This perek, by the way, for me is very moving because it's the very first perek I ever learned as a kid when I did Gemara. I think I was 7 or 8 years old. And to be perfectly honest, I don't think I really learned it properly since. When I was 7 or 8 or 9, I remember when I learned Gemara in Cheder, the very first parak I learned was Shleisha She'achlu Ka'achas. Three people who eat Ka'achas. What does Ka'achas mean? As one. Chayovin Lezamin. They have to do Zimun. Now, what does that mean? They have to do Zimun. Says Rashi, Shleisha she'achlu lezamin, lehizdamein yachad. They have to join together, litzroif brocha, to combine tziruf, the word tziruf. The word tziruf, by the way, every perek has its words. The word tziruf is going to be a major word in this perek. What does tziruf mean? Joining together. Can you be mitzareh for a minyan? Mitzareh for a zimun? Tziruf means to join. We're going to join together brocha beloshen rabin. In the plural, kagoin nevoreich. Let us, in the plural, bench together. So it's very, very important, Rashi, this. Rashi did not say that Zimun means that one benches on behalf of everybody else. Rashi just spoke about the invitation to bench. Nevoreich, let us bench, which is referring to the invitation that you say at the beginning. Let us bench together. Rabboisai, nevoreich. Now, the Mishnah now gives us many examples of different types of eating, which we have to work out. Can they be mitztarev? Can they join for a zimun? Ochal d'may. What is d'may? As we know, there is a chiv to take trumas and maestras from food. And the problem is that there's some people who are amiratzim, ignorant, and they don't take trumas or maestras. At least we're not sure if they did. So demai is in fact an Aramaic word, do mai. Do means this, mai, what is it? What is this? We don't know what this is. Now, the Gemara does tell us elsewhere, and we'll see this, but much, much later on, is that between you and me, I mean, let's be perfectly honest, most Amoratsim do take Trumas and Maestras. So it's not really a 50-50 Sophic. If it would be a 50-50 Safek, then obviously it would be awesome in our Torah to eat Safek Deraisa Lechumah. It's not a 50-50 Safek. Roiv Amoratzim do take Trumas or Maestras, the Gemara tells us. However, Chazal told you that Midrabbanan you should not eat this, and you should take trumas and maestras from it. But it's not an essentially deiraisa chiyav, because min ha-teira, one can rely on the raif. And that's why, as we'll see later on in the perek, there are many cases in which we actually allow you to eat demai. For example, it says a poor person is allowed to eat demai, and he does not have to separate trumas or maestras. Now, obviously, if it was a real 50-50 safek, there's no room for leniency. Who cares if he's poor? Can't eat issa just because you're poor. The answer is it's not a 50-50 safek. Essentially, the majority can be assumed to have taken trumas or maestras. Chazal, it's not a chiyum in our Torah, it's a chiyum in Rabbanon to take trumas or maestras. Once again, so they gave special leniency for those who are poor, because if they separate trumas or maestras, they won't be left with that much food. And there are other exceptions as well. But in the final analysis, you're not allowed to eat demai. At the end of the day, you're not allowed to eat demai lechatchil. So our Mishnah is talking about somebody who has had demai. Can I form a zimun with somebody who's eating demai? Let's ask a better question. Am I allowed to form a zimun with somebody who is eating out and out ma'acholos asuros? Tevel. What's tevel? Untithed produce. He's not allowed to eat it. It's an issa deraisa. He couldn't care less. I'm sitting at the same table as him. Two people have eaten regular, normal chulin, and one of them ate tevel. Can you perform a zimun then? So we're going to see in the second part of the Mishnah that no, you cannot perform a zimun. So why is demai different? The Mishnah says, ochal demai, if you ate demai, this is case number one. This is going to be a list of those you're allowed to do zimun with. First up is if one of them ate demai. Next case, umayserishayim shenikla trumasai. What does that mean, umayserishayim shenikla trumasai? So we know that when you have 100 bags of produce, first things first, you have to mafresh truma. You give some to the kohen. Essentially, you can give anything you like, but let's call it a 50th. So out of those 100 bags of tzvua, I've got to give 2 to the kohen. Next, I've got to do maisa. I've got to take another 10 bags and give that to the Levi. What does the Levi do with the maisa? Can he eat it straight away? No. He's got to take truma from that maisa. It's a tenth of a tenth. So of those 10 bags that he received as maisa, he's going to have to give one of them to the kohen. Once you've done that, then it's perfectly mutter to eat. It's become fully fledged chulin. It can be eaten. Says the Mishnah, maisa rishon shenitla trumasoi, which has had its truma taken from it. Says Rashi, Kosalka Datoch, the initial way of understanding is, what does this mean? Trumas Maisa Sheloi. The way we understand this at the moment is, you've taken the Truma of the Maisa itself, She'al HaLevi LaHafrish, which is incumbent on the Levi to Mafrish, not me, the Yisrael. I, as the Yisrael, have to give 10 bags to the Levi. Then the Levi has to take Truma from that and give that to the Kohen. And at this stage, we understood that's what it's talking about. So he's eating Maisa, which has had the Truma separated from it already. Now, why is this a little bit difficult to understand? And the Gemara will discuss it. Because if you give Levi Maisa, and he's separated the Truma from it, he's taken off another tenth, that's 100% permissible to eat. And if that's 100% permissible to eat, what on earth is the chiddush of the Mishnah? Obviously, if you eat that, of course you can do zimun. Why not? It's perfectly kosher food. So what's the Mishnah teaching me, Bichlal? Levi, who ate maisa, he got maisa from the Yisrael. He separated a tenth and gave it to the Kohen exactly as he's supposed to. you know what? If he eats that, you do Zimun. Well, of course you do. It's perfectly kosher food. Why would you not do Zimun? What on earth is the chiddush? All of these are questions that the Gemara will ask. So let's hold it over here after our introduction. What I recommend is learn the Mishnah. Learn the Mishnah. And before you begin, and then start the Gemara until the two dots. The two dots is on the last narrow line. And then see the second Tosfos, meaning the one that on the first very, very wide line, Ochal Tevel. Okay, so it's the Mishnah, it's the Gemara till the two dots, and then the Tosfos, Duamaskel, Ochal Tevel. Okay, good to be back, everybody. Mitzvah Hashem, same time, same place tomorrow.